Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Braden Gall from 440 Sports joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Braden, we appreciate the time as always. There is a big football game coming to Nashville this weekend. The Titans at home against the Bengals. Are the Titans ready as the one seed, the team that's being doubted? Are they ready for this game this weekend?
I would say absolutely. I think Mike Vrabel is 4-0 against the spread and straight up. Coming off of a bye week, I think they're 8-0 this season when they have an extra day of rest. So just, you know, the mini bye after a Thursday and Monday night games and that kind of stuff. So they're very good with extra time to prepare. They're healthy. They're as healthy as they've ever been. I think Cincinnati is a very difficult matchup because Burrow and those guys are going to sling it all over the place. Lots of weaponry, going to be super dangerous, but their defensive line is banged up. And I'm not sure, like, we talk about emotion in young players in college football and how, like, I think you can lose to, like, Alabama on the sidelines during the national anthem just by, like, being in awe of their, like, space alien qualities. I think when Derrick Henry comes out of that tunnel as the start announced in the stadium as the starting running back, no clue how many carries he's actually going to get. But if he is, in fact, announced as the starting tailback for the Tennessee Titans coming out of that tunnel, that building will explode and the sideline energy will be insane. And I don't know how you beat that. That is a very unscientific piece of analysis for a football game that involves lots of moving pieces. But I'm almost as excited to see Derrick Henry come out of the tunnel as an impartial observer as I am watching the actual football game, if that tells you anything.
Let me ask you this, Braden. Is it good for the Titans that they're not the number one storyline going into this weekend? I think a lot of people, their attention is on the 49ers and the Bucks, and then also on the AFC side, Kansas City and the Bills. Is it good for the Titans that they're sort of flying under the radar as the one seed right now?
Well, I don't know if it's good for the health of the Titans fans on Twitter because they spend way too much time consumed with that whole narrative that, like, no one respects us and no one likes the Titans and the national media, blah, blah, blah. Like they are, I've never seen a fan base that more, like, no disrespect to Volunteers fans, but they're sort of in this boat as well. Like folks who just actively keep grudges, hold grudges and go out and seek grievance. I've never seen a fan base like the Titans that does this. That being said, there is some truth to the fact that to your point, they're not they don't have a sexy quarterback as a one seed. That they're sort of a physical run the football team. They don't have the flashy, you know, big time quarterback, like all those things that we're a small market, we're a young fan base. It's less than 25 years old. Like all of these things that make them not necessarily good for television don't necessarily have anything to do with how well they play football. And I think smart, good national football people know that this Titans team is very, very good, that their defensive line is the best defensive line in football at getting pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz, which is how you beat Joe Burrow. It's how you beat Patrick Mahomes, and it's how you beat Josh Allen. By the way, they beat both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes this year already. So I agree that Mike Vrabel loves it when their back is against the wall and the national conversation isn't about them and they can kind of play that underdog card. I think that's 100% what he prefers. Even though they're the one seed, they're favored to win by more than a field goal, and they probably would be favored to win against Kansas City or Buffalo should they beat Cincinnati. So even though, like, the smart folks don't agree with that, myself included, I don't think they're, you know, an underdog in any way, shape, or form. I think they're absolutely can go to the Super Bowl. I think the Titans themselves inside that locker room love the rat poison. They love it. There's no question.
We're talking to Braden Gall from 440 Sports. Where do we stand here with the conference realignment, college football playoff expansion conversation with the powers that be?
You know, it's funny. I've kind of done like an entire 360 on this whole conversation because I'm with Greg Sankey in my heart, which is I want what's best for college football as a fan of the game. Just personally, me as a fan, I want to see a healthy product nationwide that creates sort of some equity and some balance where we get a true national champion. And, you know, I don't think it's good for the sport for it to be so hyper-focused on the South. I don't want college football to turn into lacrosse. Like, that's not what I want for the game as a fan of the game. But, and so I think that's where Greg Sankey's coming from. He's saying, like, listen, guys, we're fine right how it is, but if y'all want to expand and the Pac-12 wants to be relevant and the ACC wants to get some teams into the playoff and the Big 12 wants to keep its seat at the table and the Group of Five wants a seat at the table, we're going to have to expand because here's how we do it and make it work for everybody, which is 12 teams, because he thinks he can get three or four teams in every year, which he probably can. And so it's all good for them. To me, though, the concern I would have, and this is sort of where I've gone, sort of the other way on it, is if you want to call their bluff, here's the worst case scenario for everyone outside of the SEC. They're just going to expand again. Like, okay, fine, don't expand the playoff. We'll just take North Carolina and Virginia Tech from you. That's fine. Like, that's where I've sort of gone full circle. It's like, if y'all are not going to help expand and make the sport healthier nationwide, which is what the SEC is sort of kind of doing with their expansion ideas, basically what they're saying, like, I wouldn't call their bluff. If I was the ACC and they're trying to get, you know, Notre Dame to join and they've got their clear objectives here, I'd be like, the only thing keeping the SEC from stealing West Virginia, Oklahoma State, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech is a piece of paper, a contract that's been signed. Because every single one of those teams would say yes to joining the SEC. And if they don't expand, the other option is two super conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC, at 20 teams apiece, playing like the AFC and NFC every year. Like, that's the other direction this sport could go. So this is where we're standing, is sort of at the precipice of that decision.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to ask you, Braden, is just, like, can the game of college football continue on this upward trajectory, this growth pattern, if they don't expand?
Well, it's interesting you say growth pattern, because, you know, the ratings for the national championship game were down 11% from 2019 when Joe Burrow destroyed Clemson. The if you include Oklahoma in the SEC footprint, because they will be an SEC team, the Southeastern Conference footprint has won 21 of the last 24 national titles. Like, that's it. We own the sport down here. That's it. Is that good for the game? No, it's not. It's not good for college football to have every time Oregon and Michigan and any of these other teams get into a situation where they're playing for a championship, but they just don't have a chance because they don't have the players. So, and there's not really a good solution for it either. You need Lincoln Riley at USC to be very, very good. You need Oregon to be very, very good. You need Miami to bounce back in a big way, and I realize that's still technically the SEC footprint, but, like, is it really? South Florida. So I don't know. I think you have to expand. To your question, the Big 12 has to have a seat at the table. The Group of Five has to have a seat at the table, and the Pac-12 and the ACC have to have seats at the table, because, again, the SEC and the Big 10 are so far ahead of everybody else. The television rights for the ACC, like, they are looking at their bank account, and the money is – it's like a bathtub with a drain. Like, their television contract is worth peanuts on the dollar compared to the SEC and the Big Ten TV contracts. And they're only going to get bigger. So, again, I ask you, the ACC, what is stopping Greg Sankey from just taking two more state footprints and adding two more state footprints to the SEC network? What's stopping them? Because those teams are going to say yes if you ask them to come. So, again, the only thing that's stopping them is this grant of rights that the ACC's got. I would be careful negotiating with Greg Sankey, because frankly, public opinion is behind the expansion. We all want it. Fans want it all across the country. People want it. Public opinion is pro expansion right now. And those that are fighting against it, I think, are fighting a really dangerous battle.
Hey, this is a bit of a random one thrown in the conversation, but we are talking about powers and where they are moving forward. What is Clemson football over the next 3 to 5 years?
That's a great one. I think a lot of it's about how they replace their coaches. They've lost so many coaches off that staff. The defense is still one of the best defenses in America. They still recruit at a really high level. So it's not like Clemson's going to go anywhere. And frankly, they're still the best program in the ACC. They still won, you know, again, a down year, a terrible offense, and they still won 10 games. So they are going to be a preseason top 10 team next year. The question is going to be, how does Dabo – like, Nick Saban does this better than anybody, which, of course, it's Nick Saban. Not many guys – like, we're going to have to learn about Kirby Smart doing this, because he's losing a lot of coordinators as well. So how do you replace a lot of these guys that hold together your staff, and especially in a place like Clemson where stability was such a big part of their success. So I think it's a huge question. I think Mario Cristobal is going to do good things at Miami, and I know there's a lot of really good coaches in the ACC, guys that are stable and that are doing a really good job, Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, Dave Doran at NC State. I think Jeff Hafley at Boston College is a really good coach. I think there's some good coaches in that league, but nobody comes close to Clemson right now. So I still think over the next 3 to 5, they're still the best program in the ACC. Does it mean that Pittsburgh or Wake Forest is going to occasionally win a championship? I think that's totally possible. So I think the stranglehold has been loosened, but, you know, Clemson obviously is another team. Like, if the SEC wanted Clemson and they didn't care about having two teams in South Carolina, that's a program that would say yes in 2 seconds. They're basically an SEC program in every way, shape, or form. So I don't see why anything would change in terms of their overall dominance of the ACC.
Braden, what is going on right now at 440 Sports?
More of these exact conversations. Fringe Element podcast out this morning. We did a deep dive into the Florida Gators. So if you want to learn what Billy Napier's doing in the first 6 or 7 weeks on the job, which is apparently a whole lot, we talked with Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times. So we've got Fringe Element every single Wednesday, college football still out, talking SEC. 440, we're hitting Titans hard this week. That's out every single morning. Just type in 440 on your podcast app. It's less than 10 minutes, and we're going to have like a whole litany of guests previewing the Titans-Bengals games from about as many angles as possible. So make sure you're checking that out. And, of course, the Gold Standard, Nashville Predators. We got all kinds of stuff for you there as well. Coach Dave McGinnis will be our guest on the Lame Stream Sports Show on Friday, and if you've ever heard him do anything in his entire life, you will want to hear the conversation. He is one of a kind, and it was one of our best interviews probably to date, other than the great Josh Ward.
Man, I just keep sliding in the rankings. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be for sure. You'll enjoy it. Go check it out. 440 Sports. A lot of things going on right now in Nashville, especially this upcoming weekend. Braden, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, guys.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.